Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time together tonight. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our hearts, Lord. You're preparing our hearts, Father, to get ready for this great time ahead, this great awakening, this great revival that you promised us, Lord. And I'm thanking you for it, Lord, because I already know that it's going to happen, and it looks like it's going to happen real soon. And I pray, Lord, that I'm ready and everybody in this room is ready and everybody listening is ready, because we're going to have an awful time, an awesome time with you, Lord, and your people. It's going to be many, many, many souls coming into the kingdom in the next little bit. And Father, we thank you that you've prepared our hearts to receive them. And not only that, Lord, to give out the gospel and to be a great and bold witness for you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the anointing that's coming, Father. We thank you for the man child that's coming, Lord. And we just praise you for all you're going to do. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you anoint all of us tonight to participate in this fellowship and to share whatever it is that's on their hearts, Lord, that you've placed in their hearts. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I praise you for it. You know, for this cause, Lord, we bow our knees unto the Father, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant us according to the riches of his glory, that we may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, to the end that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto us we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, saints, let's open it up for prayer time. Anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray about something? What about testimonies or praise reports? You know, I want to pray about something. I do. I want to pray about what's going on over there in the Middle East right now. Father, Lord, we want your will to be done. Ever how you want to do it, Lord, we want your will to be done. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that the least amount of friction to get whatever it is that you want done, Lord, to be done, we ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord. It looks like, Lord, that they're going to sign this thing away on, I believe it's the 15th or some date like that, before the president-elect goes into office. It looks like a conspiracy of bad sorts to split Israel. And, Lord, you've already told us that if they split Israel, you're going to split this United States. We've had those prophecies that you've given your people over the years, Lord, of earthquakes splitting this country wide open because of that. And Father, I just ask that if this is something that you've already ordained to happen, that it would, you would have grace and mercy upon your people, Lord, that you would move them out of harm's way, that you would get them out of harm's way, and that you would have a hedge of protection all around them, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that the evil and the corruptness that's going on up in Washington, D.C. and all over the world would be exposed, Lord, to your people. And we thank you for it. Lord, you've done that in the past and you're still doing it. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we thank you for it. And Lord, we have great expectations that you're going to have grace and you're going to have mercy upon your people. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that are about to happen. The revival, Lord, we pray for that. We pray earnestly. We pray with our hearts. We pray with a clean heart, Lord. We pray that you would show us any kind of darkness in our hearts, Lord, that we could repent of and get out of the way, because that hinders our prayers all the time. And Father, I thank you for doing that to me. And I thank you for doing that for the people out there in the conference call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. I just opened the Bible up before I came on the Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That's Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. How many of you have tried to share the word with a fool? And they have understanding, you know. He's got his opinion as to what they, Andrew, he's got his opinion, and he doesn't want to listen to the word. But Lord, we know that in the coming days, those self-righteous people are going to listen, because the fear of God is going to be on them. Thank you, Lord. All right. That was a good word. And it really opened up my eyes to a lot of things. All right. Anybody got a testimony? All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I have a prayer request, actually. I'm going on New Year's Eve to my brother's house, and he's one of those charismatic Catholics, and I'm invited there, and I'm going to bring some movies with me, and the movies I'm thinking of bringing with me is like God's Not Dead and God's Not Dead 2. These are movies that are Christian-based movies, and I don't know if any of you've heard of them. So not too long ago, I gave them all a gift last year of that Heaven Is For Real, you know. So they ended up also watching that that movie War Room, and So I'm invited over for the whole day on Saturday from 1 o'clock on. I'm going to be taking the bus, so I want to get back before dark. And I just want the movies to go well, because my sister also lives in the same building, and she's also one of these Catholic charismatics. So I just want the Lord to... Because I don't often see them. I see them maybe once or twice a year, even though we live in the same town. But, I went over for the annual Christmas party, and I often tried to talk to my brother about this stuff. It's I'm pretty sure people know how it ends up always there, that when you talk to these people, they talk denominationally, and I really don't think they know the full gospel. And anyway, I just pray, Lord, that if you can use these movies in some small way, because I know they do say scripture verses in them, for them to be drawn closer to you, Lord. And perhaps that this may be a way for an advancing in their seeing how actually some Christians are being persecuted in America for their beliefs and not being allowed to say the name Jesus Christ at school, and that they would see this in a country that they were always thought was a very free country to express a person's self, and not just for freedom of expression, but freedom to believe something. And I just pray, Lord, that, that somehow this would get across to them, that there is a history that is not the proper history of Christianity in many of the different sects and denominations of Christianity. And that they would truly see that it's a new life in Christ Jesus. That, that your sect would be according to your word. For the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what I belong to. What I will profess and believe. In Jesus' name I pray. And thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Andrew, and we thank you, Lord, that he's going to be a light when he gets there. And there's not going to be any dissension. There's not going to be any faction in there, Lord. We thank you, Father, for putting rest and peace in Andrew's heart when he gets there, that you're in charge, Lord, and he's only going to say what you want him to say, Father, because when you talk, Lord, through Andrew, people listen. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for opening up his brothers and his sisters' ears and eyes of understanding to hear the truth of the gospel, Lord. We thank you that this, their minds are opened up now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Satan, we come against you with and command those blinders off of both of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a mighty miracle here. In whatever way you do it, Lord, that's fine. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, I'm looking for a miracle here. Amen. Everybody agree? Amen. Yep, me too. Okay, anybody else?
You know, I just got a question here.
Yes, sir.
Just there when you were praying, you know, I was praying in tongues too at the same time. You don't have understanding of what you're saying, but I was just wondering if this praying in tongues is to edify me or to edify what's going to come about on Saturday.
Both. Oh. Here's the way I pray, Andrew, when I do it in the spirit realm. I ask the Lord to pray through me for the things that he wants to accomplish at this meeting, and then go ahead and pray. Because when we pray, we might get stuff messed up. But when the Holy Spirit prays through us, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Because God is the one praying, and he prays the perfect prayer. And those prayers get answered. So that's what I do. And just believe this, that I'll be praying for you too in the spirit, because I've already got it written down here. Okay. Anybody else? Anything else, Andrew? Okay.
No.
Okay. Anybody else need prayer or would like to pray about something or testimony or praise report? Okay, Matt.
I just wanted to pray about something. You know, in the morning meeting, we got the verse about if thy brother sell his goods and stuff like that, that the brother of that brother should restore unto him the things which he sold. And, you know, we were talking about the land, you know, which the brother sells, you know, our spiritual land. You know, that he gets rid of, or, you know, doesn't conquer, you know, the enemies, that, you know, we are supposed to help them conquer that spiritual land. And so I just want to pray a little bit into that, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, we intercede for these brothers, Lord, that are not conquering their land, they're not buying back their land, Lord, that we help them and pray for them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in our brothers and sisters out there, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to help them get their land back, Lord. We thank you for in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Don, you need to lower your camera a little bit so we can see your face, your pretty face, Bubba. Hey, Don. Oh, Don. Can you hear me, Don? Can't hear you. I can't hear you. Turn your audio on. Well, anyway, we'll let him sort it out.
I think he's trying.
Yeah, I think so, too. Okay, has anybody got a testimony or prayer, praise report? How about they'd like to share something? Anybody get a word today? For those of you who came in, just came in, I got a word right before we got on here. Proverbs 18 and 2. Check this out. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Ooh, my goodness. God's people takes correction, don't they? God's people listens. They don't have to be on top all the time, you know. Don't have to justify themselves because it's Christ in us. Self is dead. That's the way we got to be. That's the way we are. That's the way we'll walk. Amen. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share? It's going to be a slow night.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Chris.
I got a little something to share. I was blessed by what you brought forward in your message last night on the study. Interestingly enough, I had already been thinking about that this morning. So I have a little prayer I'd like to share. Lord, we thank you so that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, I pray that each and every day that we take inventory of the gifts you've given us, the testimonies you've given us, and Lord, I pray that we will also take inventory of the things that are not pleasing to you. Father, I pray that we will rest in you so that you can work the wood, hay, and stubble out of us. Thank you, Father, for your reproof, your chastening. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that it's not open to debate, Father, but that it's your holy inspired word. We thank you. Father, I pray for all the folks here on the conference call that they would be mindful every day of exactly what you want us to do. And Father, I thank you, and I thank you for making it so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let me get this fan going. A little air stirring in here. All right. Yes, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're getting all that old dross out of us. You know, we don't realize a lot of times what, if you listen to the broadcast last night, I gave the testimony of John Melendi, like I did the other day on here. And I was amazed that how intricately God goes through our minds and knows what we're thinking. The little things that we thought we could get away with that was tolerable with Jesus, you know, they're not tolerable with Jesus. They're an abomination to him. Those things, everything that goes against the word of God is an abomination. If you're going against the word of God, it's an abomination to him. And what he said was, you know, the way God, the way he put it, John put it, was that when Christ came to him, he said all of his sins were exposed. Every one of them, the little bitty things that we think that's not much was big to Jesus. It was real big to Jesus. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. We have to be mindful of what the Word of God says. then if we're mindful of what the Word of God says, we're not going to get in trouble with God. Because when we go to, like he said, when you go to stand before God on Judgment Day, everything's going to be exposed. Everything. And if you're in sin, you know, he's going to expose it for what it really is. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Mike, unmute. Okay. Well, that goes with what the word the Lord gave me this morning was Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. My finger came down kind of like on both verses 9 and 10 towards the end there.
What book was that again? Jeremiah 7?
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeremiah 17.
Oh, 17. Okay.
9 and 10.
Okay. Got you.
The verse 9 is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And that went right along with what you were reading last night. The Lord's doing a thorough search. He wants the fruit. We want to give him good fruit, and that's Christ in us as we continually die to the mind of the flesh. But we don't even know what's in our own heart. Where it says, "Who can understand?" Or, you know, heart is deceitful above all and desperately corrupt or wicked. Who can understand it? We don't know our own heart until the Lord starts bringing things out and showing us.
Thanks. We can't hear you.
I got to unmute myself for y'all to hear me, don't you? I'm sorry. No, what I was saying was, after listening to those testimonies like that, I found myself being more diligent in my walk with Christ than I was before, which showed me that if we look at these testimonies, it keeps us mindful of the things that goes through our skull, you know, to cast down these vain imaginations. We've been talking about that in the morning prayers, as a matter of fact, is casting down vain imaginations in the Bible study, I guess where it was. And so when I see these types of where Jesus comes in and he shows and he exposes everything in this preacher's life, you know, and he's got things running across his mind that shouldn't be running across there. I know I've got things running across my mind. So then it makes me, it puts me in a place to where I want to be right with God. And so I cast down more and more each day, those imaginative things that come into this skull of mine. And y'all know what I'm talking about. It might mean we think that we can get by with these little thoughts that come into our mind. No, you can't get by with them. God's going to expose them if you don't get rid of them. And that's kind of what I'm seen that these type of testimonies do for me, and I hope they do the same for everybody else. That's my intention for giving those. It wasn't to go running after John Melendi. It was more or less to go running after Jesus Christ, because John Melendi was a sinner. Jesus Christ exposed the sin in the man's life. That was the reason I gave the testimony. That's why reason anyone should give a testimony. It's not to get somebody to run after somebody other than Jesus Christ and to expose us, you know, to our walk with Christ. Where is our walk with Christ? If our walk with Christ is where it needs to be, or is it some correction that needs to be done? And so I don't want anyone to think that any of these things that I give out, these testimonies, is for you to go search them out and run after them. Run after Jesus. That's who we run after. If you run after man, that's this man you're looking for, not Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
I want to add in, exactly what Brother Michael said. Men, don't look for other men. That's not right. Specifically, you're talking about the thoughts that come through your head. And it's interesting because we don't realize, that right there is an attack. Things that are not of the Lord is an attack. Everything, right? And it'll be subtle, right? But let me show you what it does, right? When you get a thought and you don't rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, you entertain a little bit. The Lord knows your thoughts from afar. This is a test for you because your thoughts are eventually going to become your words. See, if you don't rebuke it, it's going to come out your mouth, right? And when it comes out your mouth, it's going to start to become an action, right? Because the more you start talking about it, the more you're going to want to live it. You've already professed this over your life. There you go. And that action, you do it, keep thanking it, right? See, that's the start. You keep thanking it. It becomes an action. Now it's become a habit. It's repetitive over and over and over. This is active sin. And they will build your character. And then your character will determine where you go. So if you don't attack that thought and defend against it, with the helm of salvation and realize, no, that's not right. The shield of faith says, no, by the word of God, I know that the word of God says different than what this says right here. Right? So I know I shouldn't be looking at him. I know I shouldn't be looking at her. Right? And right there, that temptation, the Lord didn't lead you into. So, the temptations that we have, we really have to pay attention to find out whether or not they go up with the Lord. Let me rephrase that. The temptations that we have lead us not into temptation. The righteousness of the Lord, when we walk in the righteousness, should I do this? Well, what's the word of God say? Does it go through the filter in my head? Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And so does it pass Jesus? If so, yes. If not, no. The only way to know that is to study, to show yourself approved, rightfully divide the word of God. And then when you are his disciple, he'll set you free. You won't even feel that. I mean, temptation like that won't even come to you. So excuse me on that. It's not temptations that you have to choose to follow. Don't follow any temptations because you pray the Lord doesn't lead you into it. That's what the devil's getting you with those thoughts.
Amen. Oh, hang on just a second. Jackie, do you have your audio back? Okay. All right. Good deal. Amen, Jeremy. Amen, brother.
And let me give you a testimony for this. Now that I'm thinking about it. Okay. So I used to, I was working at General Motors and working there for a while. I was working 6 days a week, 10-hour shifts, right? I was never home. And so therefore I'd never see my wife. And when you work into a factory like that, and there's a lot of young people, they don't tend to wear a lot of things, right? And so you're going to get the occasional dress code violation, put it that way, right? So as I'm walking back and up and down, right, I kept noticing this one woman that was, well, what are you going to do? It's the same thing, 10 hours. You go that direction, you can't help, right? And so I kept looking that way, and because she, refused to wear things. And eventually, I said, Lord, I know this isn't right. This keeps distracting me. What's going on here? And I prayed that prayer. And a little bit later, maybe a couple of days later, I looked up and so help me, did I see her turn around and I just seen death on her face, right? Completely, like just full blown manifestation. Like if you picture the Grim Reaper with skin, right? But shadows where the cheekbones and all that crap should be, that was like a flash. And you know what? I had no problem looking away at that point. It didn't even catch my eye. It was like, whoa, hey, no, I didn't want to walk back. Right. But I had to, well, shortly afterwards she was transferred. But at the same time, that's what it is. It's sin. See, the Lord showed me what that is. That's sin. Right. So, and that's going to lead to death. So that was just a big roadblock that came up. And, he's faithful to do that. Did that freak me out? Yeah. It wasn't an attack. It was just the Lord showing me exactly what was, what I was headed to by entertaining that thought.
Amen. That's the way you ought to look at it. It's the Grim Reaper. Praise God. That's good. Amen. Another way that you can do this is see them as a brother or a sister. That's what I do a lot of time. Slap them back,
Yeah, but that, at that point, that would have been even weirder. No, it had to be. It had to have been the best thing.
I got you. Okay. All right. Amen. All right, anybody else want to comment on that? On those thoughts, those vain thoughts.
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew.
Well, it just so happens that during my study today, I was reading from Acts chapter 15, And that's the part where the some of the Pharisees that became Christians were telling Paul and Silas that they had to circumcise these people. And of course, that was the thought in their mind in Antioch. And they had to go back. They were asked to go back to the apostles in Jerusalem to discuss this, to see if this is something they should actually do. And so there was some sort of invitation to going back under the law there. And there was one particular verse that I seen in chapter 15 of Acts, verse 24, when they wrote this letter back, and it says there, "For as much as we have heard that certain from among us," so he didn't want to alienate those people who were Pharisees, coming out of their Pharisees and being new Christians. So they were still among us, "have troubled you with words." And this is the part I really put an emphasis on. "Troubled you with words, subverting your souls, to whom we gave no commandment." And I circled that, and I put, this is what causes these divisions to happen, when people come in with these different words. And sometimes they can just pop into your head, as evident it did with this person, because this is what he was used to all his life as a former Pharisee. That's what I'm going to say about this person, is I'm believing that they repented, because that's what happened in the Bible. So it's just as for the verse that was written and said in Jeremiah there, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I remember when I was memorizing verses, that was one of them from a long time ago. But I had a counter verse where it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." And I don't want a desperately wicked heart. I want a heart that would love the Lord. I want to have love in my heart. And it's just these principalities, like it says in James chapter 1 there, they tempt you, and they could even seduce you. But, well, from personal experience, when a pastor who's grandfather age says to you, "The only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life." If you're just a little Christian, coming from my background that I went through these different churches, that's going to set you off into a different direction, especially when you heard something prior to that that would say, "God doesn't see your sin. You know, he sees you through the blood of Jesus." That's going to set you off in a different direction. It's going to make you a prodigal son. They preach prodigal sons nowadays. And if it were for this unleavened bread, when I heard him say those things, I went, "This is what happened to me, you know, and I'm rescued." You know, it's like, I was thinking about this today too, and I was going, yeah, it's like those babies that was spoken once about David Eales, when he said they're like these babies with their faces turned down in the bathwater, and he's picking them up and reviving them out of there. And then I said, that I slid back so far, I was going over the edge there. And I'm just very thankful that the Lord used this ministry. It's amazing that me all the way up here in Ottawa could even get connected to these guys somehow. And it was through another person. His name was David too. And well, he just said, you should check this place out, Andrew. And he actually even bought me a computer and an MP3 player so I can listen to stuff on the way to work. And I just thought that was amazing. You know, no one just comes in and, you know, he was a good work colleague, but he bought me a computer to listen in on Wednesdays and Sundays and then come into the conference call earlier. I always remembered about these people who were kind of factious, trying to get leadership. And that had me worried, you know, about our fellowship. And especially still being fairly green and stuff. And, well, I just thank the Lord that he's helped me along. And it just seems weird how someone way up here in Canada would hook into Unleavened Bread and follow it for years now. And well, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that, Andrew. That's awesome. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I want to share a little bit about the thoughts. I noticed that prior to becoming baptized in the Holy Spirit, that, you know, and coming close to the Lord through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though I had Christian upbringing all my life and was able to understand the gospel to a degree, or at least salvation and forgiveness, like Andrew, we all have the basic understanding. To be able to walk the walk is pretty much an impossible feat. And even then, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now, there's still the challenges there. We're talking about casting down the vain thoughts. Well, you know, the difference is now I might be able to get the vain thought and I can catch it and I can throw it down. Or if it captures me for a little bit of time, then I realize what's going on and I'm able to get a hold of it. But I still have the power to walk away. I still have the power to overcome. I still might be challenged. I still might be pushed around sometimes, but it doesn't mean I'm falling into the sin. Before, I couldn't resist. I couldn't walk away from it. I would run with those things and just face the guilt and feel so guilt-ridden most of your life and feel like you're just, you know, you would wonder how you were ever going to make it or survive through that. And you just have that constant feeling of guilt. And I think that's one of the things you'll find in denominationalism. That's one of the things I've noticed real quick. They pull this stuff. Because I went back a few years ago and I talked to my wife's pastor. And the first thing he talked about, because they don't quite understand that because they don't have it. So we had these brief conversations in the hallways where nobody could hear us. And he tried to pull that guilt card on me about, you know, basically coming back and don't you feel the guilt kind of thing, kind of make it sound like you or feel like you're still oppressed by Satan and you need to come back to get that release. You need to come back in the fold and because you're not walking the walk. But that's when I was able to tell him, you know, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's the first thing Jesus did for me was take away all my guilt. He took away everything that I had that was holding me down, so that I could walk and be freeness in that newness of life. And that's a freedom that the church doesn't understand, they don't have. Now, I'm not saying that we all are going to be walking sin-free. I can't walk on water, all right? But I don't get up in the first thing in the morning to think about what sin I'm going to perform every day. I don't plan my day out on the wickedness. I try to stay on the side of the Lord And I don't always necessarily can't reach that pinnacle in my life every day, but I still, in the back of my mind, that's my goal. That's where I go. That's where I levitate. That's where I want to be. Where before all this, I don't know about you guys, I couldn't hold that. I couldn't stay there. I wasn't going to be part of, that wasn't going to be part of my life. It might have been for a short period of time, but then I was back in that sinful state all the time. So I think the thing about the church today and even our past lives, we can see where we used to walk. We understand the difficulties we had. And we even today, we might get trapped for a short period of time, but we know deep in our hearts that we were set free once and we don't have to be under that bondage of sin. And I just, all the time, one of the neatest chapters to read, I go through Romans chapter 6 and just Romans, and it says we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from sin. Now, if I remind myself of that and think I'm starting to feel like I'm being oppressed and start feeling disappointed in myself, like I feel like I'm not meeting some obligation, I have to quit. Check myself and realize, get myself off this law, this legalism, put my faith back in Jesus, get my eyes off me, confess my sin, get back on the road, and just look to him to make this complete. Because I couldn't get this complete the first time, right? I had to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get this done. Why is it going to change any different now? What's going to make it any different today? Nothing. I'm still going to have to walk by faith and grab hold of the Holy Spirit and let him lead me through this life. Because I'm definitely not going to be able to do it on my own. I'm not going to start that now. I'm not going to start thinking, hey, I was once in the flesh, I got set free, and now I'm going to find my way back to the flesh to do it again. No way. No way. I do love the Lord. I appreciate what he's done for me. I appreciate what he's done for us all to help us walk in newness of life. But I definitely want to get back in that road of legalism and feel like I'm not making it because of what I'm not doing right. I know I can make it every day with the Lord's grace. I know I can walk in newness of life because that's what he gave me, that freedom. But I am not going to try to do it on my own.
Amen, David, that's true. You know what I do? I get up in the mornings, I look in that mirror and I say, look at that, there's Jesus. Come on, Jesus, let's walk. Me and you, brother. We're going to do it. And that's how we have to do it. Everything we walk in is by faith in it. And if I try to do anything on my own, I'm going to fail. Glory to God, I'm going to fail. So I have to let Jesus do it all for me. So I look in that mirror and I say, look, there's Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to skip and walk through this day together, Lord. And I'm going to go behind you because you're leading the way. And that's what we have to do. We did all by faith, just like David was talking about. We have to, because we can't do it. You know, I tried that one time, more than once. Didn't work. It don't work. God has to do it. So that's good, Dave. Thank you. Anybody else? This is a good discussion.
I'm so glad we're brought into the grace. I am so happy the Lord decided to give us grace and get us out from underneath the law. I mean, I love the law. I think we all do. We love reading about it and seeing it flourish and the fruit you might get from it when you can keep the law. But to know that we can't do it on our own and even begin to think about, you know, accomplishing those things, but the Lord can do it through us, that makes the law even more special. That makes it great because I know I can do it through Jesus. He's going to walk through me and fulfill what he needs done, and it's going to be the way he wants to do it. And we may stumble along the way, you know what? Kids, and I don't care how old you are. If you're a 60-year-old and you still stumble, or older, you can still be a kid stumbling, learning the Lord. I think that's one of the things that when you read that about John Muldeen, he talked about it was a walk. It wasn't something they learned all the time, and then he grew more and more, and he's still learning. I think we're all on that road, so we're still all learning. We're still stumbling. We're still trying to. You know, we're not back where we were 5 years ago, but we know we're not there yet. So I look forward to that. I know it's not the end. I don't care how old we are. We know we've still got more to look forward to. And that's a wonderful thing, too.
Amen. Amen. You look like you're fixing to say something, Tim. Hey, brother. Yes, sir.
I've been reading in Proverbs and this discussion about, you know, growing and stuff. It just brought searching for it, and I found it. It's in Proverbs 4. Let's see, where is it? 18. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That, you know, that's it. You get better and better the more you walk and the more you obey. And that kind of fits the theme here. So I thought I'd just share that with everyone.
That's true. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Praise God. Yep, that's a good one. Stop that, Julie.
Sorry.
Okay, anybody else?
Here's something in Ezekiel.
Okay.
Ezekiel 36:22. It's regarding that heart of flesh that God's, that wicked heart, that unregenerated heart that is so wicked, but ours must not be, is not. We've been cleansed and it's been, our sin's been washed away, right? But this was encouraging to me because he says that, therefore say to the house of Israel, okay, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name. Wow. I just, for his holy name, he's done all this that I'm going to read. Which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to serve my ordinances, observe my ordinances. You shall dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers. I just think that passage is beautiful. It just tells what he's done for us, as David said, what he's, that grace and mercy for the holiness of his name, for the honor of his name, that would come through us.
Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God.
Yeah.
Amen. Matthew put it up on the notepad there, chat pad there. Okay, that's good. Awesome. You know, that's those verses there, that's something for all of us to meditate on it sometime. Just take it out and meditate on it. See what God shows you on it. Some good stuff in there. All right, anybody else? Hey, Don. How you doing, brother? I can't hear you. Turn your microphone on. Just saying.
It's on the bottom left, Don.
There, how's that?
Glory to God, we got audio.
Yeah, I'm learning more about this machine, I guess.
Okay. How you doing, brother?
Hey, fine.
Awesome. How's Miss Marlene?
Well, she's still coming up, you know, in her sickness. She's sick.
She ain't sick. We prayed for her. That woman's well. She's healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. What do you think about what we've been talking about, Don? These old thoughts that goes through our minds.
One thought I had back about three people ago, he was talking about something about putting yourself down or something along that line. And I was thinking of that song that David often criticizes, "I'm only a sinner saved by grace." I was thinking about that. I was born and raised with it. And I remember I think the song leader would have us stand up to try to get a little bit more energy into it. This is what I was thinking. When the New Orleans Saints started up, that professional football team back, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And that famous trumpet player would play when all the Saints are marching in.
Louis Armstrong?
No. Another one. That's even more exciting, even though New Orleans is not as far from a righteous city. Still, you know, that's quite a song.
Yeah, it is.
So that seemed more exciting than singing that song, "I'm Only a Sinner Saved by Grace," even though it was being done by, you know, in a secular situation.
Yeah. I ran across a ministry, it's been years ago, that called itself Sinner Saved by Grace Ministry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was run by a woman. I'm just saying, you know, I contacted her by email. Yeah, that's the way I was back then, okay? Y'all had to forgive me, okay? Quit looking at me with them old holy eyes like y'all ain't never done nothing like this either. But I emailed her, and I said, "How you going to be a sinner and then be saved?" I said, that ain't pot, you know, and I went through the scriptures and all that stuff. She wrote me back, and she's real short. Email, as you might expect. She said, "That's what we're going to call it. That's what it is." I said, "Okay, all right. I'm going to back out of here to this one, you know." But they have a mindset. They've been taught that, just like Andrew was talking about. That's a mindset that they have, and it's a spirit that gets on them. And it's a hard one to bust.
Yes, it is.
It's not only hard to bust, they're easy with it. It keeps them in that sin. They can stay in the sin and still believe that they're safe, you know.
They don't understand, and most people don't, till you get that baptism of the Holy Spirit, what the freedom can bring. I mean, the Lord can come in and walk in and clean you up and take away your sin. They think that's in the by and by, you know, when we go to heaven, then we're cleaned up. They don't see it happening here. I'm not saying that we're totally clean, but I'm saying we're not in bondage anymore.
Well, we're totally clean by faith, aren't we?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's God's grace on us. Praise God, yeah. You know, I had a preacher one time told me, we was in a group there, in group setting. He said, you know, we was talking about that sinner saved by grace. I said, I don't think that's what it said. I don't think that's what the word said. And I wasn't even with David at the time. I didn't know anything about his teaching at the time. But I'd seen enough scripture to know that you're not saved. You're not a sinner saved by grace. He said, "I tell you what," he said, "you can't get up and walk to the door there without sinning."
Of course, I remember you telling that.
I said, "All right, watch this." I just got up, went over the door. I opened the door, shut the door, and went down and sat down. I said, "I didn't sin a bit. I wasn't thinking no evil thoughts. The only thought I was thinking about was getting even with him. That's what I was thinking about. Of course, that was evil. Don't get me wrong. But anyway, I had to prove a point. You know what I'm talking about? I had to justify what I thought. And it was evil. It was wrong on my part. But you're not going to change their minds. You're not going to change their minds. Only thing that can change. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
See, I met Don a few years ago. I came to his when he was in Michigan, him and his wife Marlene. For this one.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, I came and visited you guys. You guys were in Kalamazoo area. Close. Right?
Well, you're from Grand Rapids then.
Yes. Oh, yes.
An ex-Lutheran or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite as bad as the next priest, but close.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, you too, man. I just wanted to say hi. And I heard you guys mentioned a few times, so.
Oh, yeah.
Small world.
Still in Grand Rapids, huh?
Oh, yeah, we like that cold weather.
Yeah, we'll pray for you, David. We'll pray for you, brother.
That's the next thing I got over.
I'll get Michael going on this one.
I got 80-something degrees in here. That's the way I like it. And I got a sweatshirt on. You see this? That's just the way I like it, too.
This is an aside story. Got nothing to do with anything. A couple I knew, they had friends that went to Hawaii, and they took a picture of them on the beach. They were at a table on the beach, and their feet were in the water, and they took that picture. So the couple they sent it to were in Michigan, so they decided, well, they sat outside their house. It was the middle of winter, all the snow around them. They sat at their table that's outside full of snow, with their feet out, and their feet out, kicked out in the snow. But they're all there bundled up, and they took a picture of that, them outside, and they're waving.
Jackie, I don't know how you stand it, girl. That's how come you got all them coats on.
I just have one hoodie on.
Oh, okay. All right.
I like it kind of cold.
I don't care nothing about the cold. I sleep a lot better when it's hot.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
It's about 67 in here.
Yeah, that's too cold, huh? You're going to have icicles on you in the morning, I guarantee you.
I just turned it up from 65 a little bit ago.
Well, that's what I do, too. But we have a wood stove downstairs. And mine, I'm on an upstairs bedroom, and, of course, it gets a lot hotter up here than it does downstairs. But that's the way I like it. Praise God. Okay, let's get back to the word here. Anybody else have something they'd like to talk about here on vain imaginations and the things that we're talking about?
I kind of do. This is Becky. I am on 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I got to thinking about, I don't even know who said what at this point. But for me, and what's going on right now for me, is that I lead a small group of women with chronic illness. Spiritual, you know, it's a Conquerors in Christ is what we call it. But also I'm in a very small, I'm in a rural town with a small group that we pray specifically for our nation in Israel. And, you know, that's what we pray for. But what the Lord has been revealing to me is that I need to get my house in order. And he keeps saying that you need to get your house in order. And, yes, there is sin that has been deep. And he's now revealing it at a more urgent level. And not to say that I don't deal with, you know, that I haven't dealt or he has not helped me with all sorts of other issues and, you know, sin that I've had in my life. But at this point, it's like, you know, he has created, it feels urgent. And not that it's by any means him, you know, I mean, him coming through me to be sanctified, and in that work of sanctification, I guess is what I really want to say.
Amen. It's God that does that sanctification for us, and all we have to do is just believe he's doing it. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And put our faith and believe that he can and is. And that's, you know, I can't do that on my own. It has to come from him.
Yeah.
Everything I do has to come from him. I am so utterly dependent on him every day. But yet I like to go down that road once in a while by myself, and it generally gets me in all sorts of trouble. But lately that's what he says, get your house in order, get your house in order. So I know I'm not the only one. I know there's lots of people experiencing that today.
Absolutely. Everybody is being told by the Lord to get your house in order. All of us are getting that area. Even the little, we think is little stuff he's wanting us to get rid of, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, absolutely.
We just confess it and allow him to take it away from us. Ask him, Lord, you just take it from me. But confessing those sins is essential in getting cleaned up. So that's what we do. Find you a good brother or sister that you trust and confess them out and go for it. Watch God.
Yes, I am very blessed when it comes to our home church here and one a dear friend of mine who's in a group that I'm in. She is she just studies his word. She could go like hours and hours and hours. And I have attention span that needs to be weaned in and honed in a little bit more. But he's working on me. He's working on me. But she has become my mentor in Christ. So.
Amen. Well, that's good. That's awesome. All right. Thank you for sharing that, Becky. That's awesome.
Can I add something?
Well, and I thank you for this group. I think this is going to be good. The piece that I kind of was missing. So.
Hey, Becky.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Pardon?
Do you have a prayer language?
I do not.
I see. Well, that's not that I'm saying this is the precursor to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but generally what happens is when we do receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's one of the things we receive is a prayer language. I'm asking that because I feel like we need to pray for you to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit.
I would appreciate that.
Would that be fine? Would you like to have that? I think with all
absolutely.
And we're praying over you, and if you receive it, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dear Father in heaven, thank you for bringing Becky to our group today. We appreciate you allowing her to come and open up to us and perceiving this, Lord. We now pray and we pass on this baptism of the Holy Spirit that you've given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we give Becky the baptism of the Holy Spirit through us and by us. And right now, we can all just open our mics, and we're going to pray in tongues, and we're going to pray over you right now. In the name of Jesus.
It's a gift, Becky. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Becky, it's not something that the Holy Spirit's going to force you to do. It's something that you're going to have to do by His unction. And you'll feel that coming up from the bottom of your like in your tummy and coming up and just let it go, girl, because that's the way God works it. You have to be the one that starts the voice. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for filling up Becky with the Holy Spirit. We praise you, Father. Glory, halakara, sianda le de siande, rosonda de bocatambara basende de siande, nale kiara sonda robosata, torosunda le de kirisiambara basende de siande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, if feeling a little bit apprehensive, that's okay. You can do like I did. You can get out by yourself and start praising God, but don't do it in English. Do it in the language that he's given you, and you'll do it. It may sound strange to you, but don't worry about it. That's the devil. That's the devil telling you, you ain't got nothing. No, you have it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You have it. Praise God. So just let it go, girl. Just let it go. Thank you, Lord. We've had other people get the baptism of the Holy Spirit on these conference calls. It's a gift. Okay, go ahead. Shara Mashiach telekirisiande. Porosia telekirisia marabasanda. Rosondo akitiana metete ledesi. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for baptizing Becky in the Holy Spirit and filling her completely up, Lord, giving her that overcoming power that edifies herself, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I praise you, Father, that that's what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I come against any spiritual hindrances right now. I'll be coming from Satan, any mind games, any word curses, any factious spirits, any denominational spirits. We cast those off in the name of Jesus Christ. Any witchcraft spirits, we cast those off. Any Jezebel spirits, we cast them and bind them in the name of Jesus Christ right now.
Amen. Any blocking spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing with Becky right now, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, Becky, what Michael was saying is true. You might have to relax, allow the tongue to come through you. It's as natural as breathing. That's how the tongues are. You're able to start it up and control it because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, meaning there's nothing that's going to happen that you don't have control on. So it allows another tongue to just roll off your mouth and out of your spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you and in you. There's a great testimony and teaching on this by Rex Ferrone. It's Holy Spirit and Tongues on the website. Now, I recommend you listen to that, too. It gets you more of an idea.
What's his last name?
Rex Ferrone.
What was his name?
It's on the UBM website.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the, is it in the miscellaneous?
I think if you just do a search, you can find it. Let me find out.
Yeah, you can do that. All right. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Becky, in Jesus' name.
Becky, may I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Is your husband a believer?
He pretends to.
No.
We're both raised in the same church, which let me say it wasn't real, you know. And so he still lives in that, I think. Whereas I have, you know, accepted the Lord and moving, you know, he's moving in my life. Now, I can't say that he isn't a Christian. I'm sorry that I said that. But what I see is no difference from when I first married him 38 years ago. So there has been, I know there has been spiritual warfare in this house. I feel it. I pray about it. I know that Satan has been knocking at our door for a long, long time. And it's like he got in the last few years a little bit more. So, yes, I rebuked him, and that's kind of where we are.
You rebuked Satan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the name. In the name of the Lord.
Yeah, just make sure.
No, not me personally. I can't do nothing. Are you kidding me?
Well, no, just make sure you're your husband. Because we went from see how that worked. We went from your husband to Satan, just like that. Right.
Okay. So what do you want me to do? Me? Have I rebuked him in my husband?
No. Just ask, look, my wife had to pray for me for 2 years, right? Straight, vigorously, mm-hmm. right? Having her mm-hmm. eyes open, right? Before, mm-hmm. you know, the spiritual warfare and all that. And I knew all that. I just didn't want to change, right? Mm-hmm. So she had to pray mm-hmm. me into the kingdom in that aspect. And, you know, I praise God for that. Mm-hmm. Ask him, you know, keep praying for him just because he's not in the same space with you. You know, you guys might be on different levels. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just seems to me that, you know, you keep hearing that you need to get your home in order, but you're going to someone else to teach you. And the Word of God says that he should teach you, right? So So if you'll ask
I've been waiting for many, many years.
Dude, every day when you get up, right, pull the Bible out and say, hey, will you read this to me?
Well, he's not here, one. He is gone 5 days out of the week.
Okay.
So he only is home. He's only available Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday, he usually goes out to the family farm and helps them with something. Or he literally is flat out on the couch. And then he leaves back on Monday.
Yeah, that's kind of a precarious situation. Put a Bible on him when he sleeps. When he wakes up, ask him to read you a verse, right? Start to just kind of, you know, ease it into him and pray for him because the Lord will open up his eyes. See,
judgment, I am praying,
Judgment starts in the house of Israel, right? And the head of the church is Christ, and Christ is the head of the man, right? So mm-hmm. give him over to the Lord and let the Lord work with him and do the same mighty work that's been done in you in him. Pray for him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's sanctified.
Now, we were coming together, you know, and praying, and I could feel him moving towards, you know, and then I don't know what happened. Something happened, and he completely went the other way. So I'm not sure what it was, whether he's fearful, whether Satan got a hold again or what. I was almost feeling safe in his arms, like, he was going to carry on as the leader of the home. So, he stopped, whatever it was. So,
sister, pray for him and get your home in order. That's what I feel like he's saying, right?
Yeah, so me too.
Mm-hmm. That's the direction. Pray for him to get your home in order, right? Because if out of order, you're just allowing the devil a foothold. And no one comes in, so what will happen? You'll get another Jesus that'll deceive you in that area, right? Because no one comes through the sheepfold but through me, right? He is the truth, the way, and the life. The same as a liar and a thief, it's not Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So just pray. Keep praying for him, you know, and the Lord will remove all of that stuff. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
I'll tell you what, let's do. Becky, why don't you pray the prayer that you feel like the Lord's teaching you to pray for your husband? You've got a bunch of believers here that will believe with you, and we'll continue to pray for you and your husband, okay?
Okay. Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love and for your care and for your gentleness, for your mercy and your goodness. I thank you that you are a Lord of power. And that we can rely on you for the things that we do not see. And Lord, I pray for my husband. And I pray, Lord, that you sweep in a new and different way and bring him to an understanding, Father, that you want him at the head of the household. And again, Lord, let me put him there. You know, let me back off and not say the things that come just in a second. Let me be your witness and be your quiet witness, Lord. And help him, Lord, feel anything that you might be prodding him towards. Help him to realize that you are real. And you want part of his life. You want his whole life. And you want his whole soul. And Lord, I pray that you do just that. And you do that in me as well, Father. And put me exactly where you want me in this household. And help me to do the things you ask me to do. And Father, I just pray for his heart, Lord, that he would come to you in a heart of I want to say mercy, and a heart of knowing how little he is and how big you are, and knowing how much he needs you, and help him get it right, Lord, before your feet. And help me, Lord, get it right before your feet in everything, in every second of every day, in every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord. Have it be yours. I thank you, Father, for your love and for your continued care in my life and your continued care in this home. Help me to do exactly what it is you want me to do, and no less and no more in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, you said in your word, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. We pray right now, Lord, that you send somebody to her husband that he would listen to,
Father,
that's full of the
yes,
Holy
Father.
Spirit,
yes.
And that would turn him, Lord, that he would speak the words that you have given him, Father, to speak to her husband, that would turn him, Lord. And we thank you for it, and we're going to believe it.
Yes.
But it's
yes.
going to happen, Lord. We have the faith because you've given us that faith. You said the faith the size of a mustard seed would move a mountain out to the sea. I believe it, Lord. And I'm thanking you right now that Becky's husband is coming in a mighty way, and he's going to be a powerful man of God. He's going to take that authority in his home in the name of Jesus. We speak it forth. The prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that man is coming in a mighty way and take care of his family and his house. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We speak it, and we believe it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. You believe that, Becky?
I do.
Okay, it's going to happen.
I do.
Amen.
I wait eagerly for the day.
Amen. So, you know what we do now?
Hallelujah.
What we do now is we thank him from this point on that it's being done. We don't have to beg him anymore. We don't have to even ask him anymore. We just stand in faith and endure in our faith until that man turns his head back toward Jesus and he starts preaching to you, okay?
Amen.
All right. Well, praise God. I believe it's going to happen because I felt the Holy Spirit all over me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely.
In my spirit, I'm guilty.
Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You feel that. We know that happened. We know you got your husband in the kingdom. He's coming in the full power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that and trust that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you,
Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey, sister, just want to let you know, be patient with him, okay? And and also I want to tell you it's not your fault, all right?
Amen. It's just going to happen.
So give that one over to the Lord because that's not you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you.
By grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
I'm sitting there trying to talk to y'all, and I got the thing muted, for goodness sake.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Well, I was saying that I would get up and dance around in the Holy Spirit, but y'all would see me, and I'd look like a fool in front of y'all, but
I wouldn't see you.
Dance before the Lord. Amen. Lord of God. Amen. Don't be laughing, y'all. Y'all wanted to get up, too, I can tell. Oh, Julie.
My arms were off. How about that?
There you go. Praise God. Yeah, there you go, Julie. Amen. Hey, Rhonda. How are you, girl?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Awesome. I guess that's the first time I've seen you on here.
Yeah, I saw it on Keys of the Kingdom site and thought I'd just stop in and see what you're up to.
Okay. You need to get a little bit closer to that mic because I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better?
That's okay. Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you on Keys to the Kingdom. I guess Jeremy posted it, and I saw it on there and thought I would just stop in and see what you guys were about.
Okay. Well, praise God. We're glad to have you. I hope it's a blessing to you.
How often are you on?
Do what now?
How often do you meet?
We meet on Tuesdays and Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to about 10 o'clock.
I'll make a note of it.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's good to have you on. I like that pretty rose you got there.
Thank you. In my old garden, I had 350 rose bushes.
Get out of town.
They called me the crazy rose lady on the
I air. Expect so. 300 and how many?
350.
Oh, my goodness. How'd you keep them all fed up?
It was a lot of work.
I expect it was.
Job. My garden was a full-time job.
How many of them did you eat?
Oh, I ate lots of them, especially the hips.
Okay. Well, they're pretty.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're pretty. Glad to have you. Anybody else got anything they'd like? Would you like to share something, Rhonda?
No, I'm just listening tonight. Thanks.
Okay.
Next time.
All right. Anyone else?
I did a search just out of information on a website where I had a search button in the audio video section for Rex Verone, and it came right up. That's V-E-R-O-N.
It's in the audio form, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where it came up. Holy Spirit and Tongues, the three audios, Rex Verone.
Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about, like to share? Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say on the Holy Spirit, if you do the same thing, if you search not just Rex Verone, but if you search the Holy Spirit, you'll get a lot of the other teachings that David had done as well that are mixed in there that are really good too. And put it all together.
Well, I'm having trouble hearing you. I don't know.
With that. Absolutely.
Well, you didn't hear me?
Is anybody else having trouble hearing her?
No, we can hear. We hear her.
Okay.
This too, Michael.
I guess. All right, y'all understood what she said. That's good.
Julie said to do a search just on the Holy Spirit and tongues, or Holy Spirit.
Just Holy Spirit.
And then you'll get other teachings that David did also.
My audio thing is not working for some reason.
Yeah, thank you for that, everyone. I did note that.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Got to put the power on it. Y'all know what the power is, don't you?
Yeah, Becky, when you get a chance, just kind of relax sometime by yourself and just let it roll out. Praise the Lord, start praising the Lord. And if you haven't already started speaking in tongues, it'll come. And if you have problems, just let us know. We'll make sure we can get it going. We'll look through. Maybe there might be some other things you might have to deal with, but it will work. So, for instance, when I first tried to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I naively wanted to pray in tongues. That's what I thought it was. And, well, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you receive the gift of tongues. And so, but what was holding me back was I had touched in the Ouija boards and I had a spirit of an occult spirit that was on me that was preventing me from being able to manifest the tongues. Once we had cast off some of this stuff that I had in my life, mm-hmm. then I was able to.
Amen. Go ahead, yeah. Matt.
This is actually me, Michael.
Okay.
I just wanted to pray for our car. It's rattling in the back left, and we took it down to the mechanic, and they raised it up and looked at it and said, he thinks it's a struts, and to find out for sure, though, they need to take out the back seat and everything, you know, just all this stuff. They can't even be sure until they get it apart. And David even looked at it, and he said, that's not the struts. You know, it's only got 45,000 miles on it. The back end's not sagging at all. It's just rattling in the back left. It sounds like it's something in the trunk. I don't know much about cars, but I know the Lord does, and he can fix it. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Avalon, Lord, and I know that you've got your hedge of protection about it, Lord, that you've kept it going this whole time, Lord, and you gave it to us. It's been a real blessing, and that this rattling has not caused any damage. There's no damage being done while it's being driven, and that you've got it under control and that you're fixing it and that you've already fixed it. I just want to praise you, Lord, for that, that you fixed it, that I don't have to worry about it, that it's going to stop rattling any day now, and it's never going to rattle again, and there won't be any damage to reverse. It's all good, and that everything's in line. The tires are in line. Whatever's loose is going to be stuck back together, and that it's not the struts, and that whatever it is, though, Lord, or even if it was the struts, that you would just fix it, because you're a much better mechanic than they are. You don't have to take it apart to figure it out. You already know what's wrong, and you've already got it fixed. I just thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that the struts are strutting their stuff in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That car's fixed. Don't worry about it no more.
Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? We only have a little bit of time, but I wanted to get y'all thinking about something before our next meeting. Tuesday night is unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness shows its ugly head in a lot of different ways. Unforgiveness is anger, bitterness. Anytime that there's something that rises up inside of you is unforgiveness. That's unforgiveness. You got to cast it down. It comes in a lot of different forms, unforgiveness does. Irritation. You know, we don't like to hear these things. We like our irritation. We like our unforgiveness. Let me see if I can check you a little bit here. We like our unforgiveness sometimes, but how many of you know that Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses or women, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I remember, I'm reminded of that African pastor that had a little spat with his wife before he went out that morning, and he ran into a tree and killed himself. And the Lord took him to heaven, and he met himself up there, and the Lord told him, showed him heaven. Oh, he's having a good time, you know. And then the angel told him, he said, this is not your lot. Your lot, and then is down here, and he took him to hell and showed him hell because of the unforgiveness in his heart toward his wife with that little spat that he had with it. And oh my goodness, he went to talking fast then, you know. Y'all heard the story about it or read it. But that's what the Lord had told him. And then he told him, he said, now I want you to go back and tell the people about this. And when he got back, you know, I think he was out for 3 days or maybe 4 days. He was dead for 4 days. In fact, they had already embalmed him. They brought him back to life. The Lord brought him back to life. And he said from that point on, the fear of God was on him so prevalent that when that looked like it, even acted like there was going to be some sort of a little spat with anybody, he'd walk away and go to the bathroom and lock the door and be praying. He didn't want to go to hell because God sent him down there. And that's what happens with unforgiveness. It takes you to hell if you die with unforgiveness in your heart. And I'd like to kind of have y'all to think about that between now and what is today? Is today Thursday? This is Thursday, isn't it? Next week, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know what day it is half the time. I'm sorry. But next Tuesday, maybe we can think about it all weekend long. And we can talk about it next week, next Tuesday night, a little bit more. Because unforgiveness, a lot of people don't understand what it is. And if you don't understand, you don't think that you're in unforgiveness when you really are in unforgiveness. So if y'all would just think about that a little bit, because that's a dangerous place to be in, is unforgiveness. It's so dangerous, in fact, that it can take you to hell if you die in that state, just like that pastor did. So we'll talk about that some more. I've got a lot I'd like to talk about it. In fact, I've taught a couple of things, a couple of times on the Wednesday night broadcast about unforgiveness, and it's something that you don't want to toy with at all. If you have a spat with your wife, or if you have a spat with your husband, or if you have a spat with your brother or your sister, you know, make amends before you leave there. Do that. It's not worth going to hell over. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to that? Come on, Matt. Well, that was loud. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh, I'm sorry. This mic kind of picks up stuff randomly. Go ahead. Apologize. No, if Matt wanted to go, I mean, please, by all means.
Looks like Matt's locked up.
Did you want? Oh, yep. I got you unmuted, Matthew. Go ahead.
No, I was just doing something. Go ahead. Oh.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Just real quick, you know, what Brother Michael's talking about is very true. It is very deceptive. Remember, subtlety is how Eve was deceived. The serpent was the most subtle beast in all the land. You know, and interestingly enough, if you look at Hebrews 3, starting at 8, verse 8, it says, "Harden not your hearts as the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, where your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years." So he's talking about the Israelites that wandered around what's called the wilderness of sin. Right. So right there, hardening your hearts keeps you in sin. Right. Hardening your hearts is the day of provocation. Provocation is likened unto the Antichrist. It's the opposite of Christ, the replacement for Christ. Right. Where I was grieved with that generation and said, "They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." So there's error in the heart. "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." So they're driven, right? They're always going to be doing something. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." Now, what's interesting about that is because it said, "Harden not your hearts." That's how it opened up. You know, if you have a hardened heart, it's because of unforgiveness. Offenses must come. You've been offended, and you can't forgive somebody. We're told not to offend our children, provoke them to wrath. You don't understand the necessity of that. Because as a child, when we grow up and our mom, you know, we start to get understanding of things, our mom, our dad, our brothers, or sisters, they offend us, right? Then anybody you live with, roommates, husbands, wives, you accept what they've done rather than to forgive them, right? Because you don't want to talk about it anymore. You know, I'm just going to step on eggshells. I'm not going to talk about that subject anymore. I've already accepted. But see, there's already been a decourse. There's something raw there, right? And you need to come together in agreement, one mind, one supplication, to discuss that matter, because that's where the devil's going to attack you. So if you can let that go and harden not your hearts, because that's what it's going to do. It's going to put a hardened heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief is how the Lord says that. And that unbelief will keep you from faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And matter of fact, without faith, it's a sin. Right, so it literally keeps you in the wilderness of sin through your offenses. All you have to do is just forgive, but it's a hard thing to do because you don't know that you're lacking. See, they erred in their ways; they thought they were right. You know, so when you think you're right, it's self righteousness, and that's why ultimately that you're offended in the first place, because you were right and somebody hurt you. Why? You didn't give it over to God. He says, "Cast all your burdens upon me." You know, He cares for you. You don't give it over to Him. You know, and there's that process of forgiveness. I don't know if I said this in here before, but when you get hurt, you ultimately get real mad. You want to tell somebody off, and then, you know, I must have done that over and over and over. Father said, give it to me. I want to give it to him, but I gave it to him, and I didn't want to do it, and I gave it to him, and it took me a couple months to keep giving him things over and over and over, and then I wanted to be justified. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Prove me right, Lord, by the letter of the law keeps me in the law, right? Therefore, right, I'm wanting to be justified because vengeance is his, and I want to be proved by their trespass. Because, you know, they're his son, too. They're his daughter, right? That's what happened. That's fair, right? No, it's not right. Because ultimately what happens is when you finally forgive them, it's because you fear the Lord. You forgive them, for they know not what they do, for what he will do, right? And there's that process of forgiveness. It's a trial. So you don't want to let it get there. Don't let it get to that point. Just quickly is what Jesus says. Agree with your adversary and move along. God bless you. Sorry about all that.
That's okay. That's all right. It's hard for me to get used to this. I'm raising my left hand. It comes up on my right side over here on the video.
You can flip that around, by the way.
How you do that?
You have to go into your settings. I'll show you later. You have to go into your settings. You just mirror it.
Oh, okay. That's all you have to do, just mirror it?
Yeah, well, there's a little thing you check in your profile.
Yeah, okay. All right, good deal. Go ahead, Matthew.
Okay, now I have something to say.
All right.
You know, dealing with a little bit of unforgiveness, there was, you know, a little bit in my life, especially towards my father. For whatever silly reasons it ever was. And, you know, when I came to the Lord, you know, I realized I had this, you know, I was trying to get rid of it, you know, and didn't really work that way. But, you know, this one day I just started to, you know, pour out my heart to the Lord, you know, I was bawling. And, and I said, Lord, you know, take this from my heart, you know, this unforgiveness towards my father. Because, you know, I want to forgive him. You know, I don't want to be angry with him for something that he did because he doesn't know any better because, you know, he's in the world and our fathers, you know, make mistakes. And, you know, that day on, I haven't had any unforgiveness or any, I mean, when I think about my father and the past situations, no pain. There's no more pain. There's no more anger. There's no more self-justification that comes with it, you know. And, you know, I praise the Lord that he took that, you know, from me. But I was just hoping that you guys could use that as a little bit of a testimony to kind of show you how, you know, unforgiveness stays in there and how, you know, if you pour out your heart to the Lord and ask him to take it out of you, you know, he's righteous and faithful to do so. Cause you know, like, it's Mark or, you know, the Bible says, you know, anything you ask and believe you have received, you shall have them.
Amen. Mark 11:24.
That's what I was thinking, Mark 11:24.
Yep.
So just wanted to share that and praise the Lord, and I thank him for it, you know, and this is awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that unforgiveness, it'll eat you alive, man. I've seen people carry unforgiveness most of their life and die of cancer from it. I'll tell you something, that's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. Especially when it's a loved one. So get rid of it. If it's there, it's very, very dangerous pill to swallow there. A lot of people die of cancer because of unforgiveness in their life. But anyways, anybody else got something they'd like to share about unforgiveness? You know, some people I'm one of them, are blessed to not hold grudges. I never have had to hold grudges at all, but some people are not. Some people like to hold them. I just always, even as a pagan, sheer pagan, you know, I'd get in an argument with somebody, and 2 minutes later we're big buddies again, you know, because I don't see any use in that kind of action. But some people, it didn't, you know, just a little thing will set them off, and they'll hold that grudge for whatever reason, and that's a demon. I think most of it occurs because of rejection, spirit of rejection, and condemnation, and that type of thing. And when someone has that, they tend to hold on to anger and bitterness a lot longer than someone who's, you know, doesn't have to deal with that that particular demon so much.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually had a guy at work that blew up at me, and I was supervising at the time. I had like 5 different things hit me at once. And at the same time, we had a fellow that had died that week that we all worked with. And so everybody's going through his grief a little bit. And he walks up and he hands me a slip of paper. What it was he wanted some time off, but I hadn't even had a chance to figure out what's going on yet. And I'm talking to somebody while he's handing this to me, and I've got some stuff coming in the building. I got contractors, so I'm watching them, and somebody else is talking about something else, and he's handing me this. And I took a minute to look at it, and I said, "Well, wait a minute, Steve, I don't know if I can do this yet. Let me." And he just went off on me. And I said, "Well," I says, "hey, you know," and he says, "oh," and he started calling me the lowest person and all that, and I don't care about you. And he's all this bad stuff coming out of his mouth. He's rolling. And I just, you know, just let it go. But eventually I got to look the schedule over, and I got with him, "Hey, Steve, I can let you out." But the minute time I tried to talk to the guy, he would just start going off and walking away and threatening me, and just wouldn't go. It's just mouth. Was just, and it's all demon. It's all spirit. And he's sworn off God. He hates God. You know, he doesn't believe in it. And so it's more of the demon in him coming at me. And I stepped down and not supervising anymore, but still, to this day, I don't know how to talk to this guy, because he's just so full of anger and hate. I kind of have my hands off him. I don't say anything to him. Not that I'm mad about it or anything, upset. No, I'm forgiveness. But there's a demon there, and I, you know, it's like it's very strong, and it's anger, and it's just, you can see it, and I'm just like, oh, I just let it go. So it's like you do the best you can with some people, but and the ones that are out there, it's just like you're dealing with a crazy person. You don't even know what to do with it, you know.
Yeah, you know, we got people that we got to walk on like we're walking on eggshells, you know, around them. Mm-hmm. And the best thing to do with those kind of people is to pray for them and believe for them. And that's it, man. That's about all you can do. Somebody, if somebody gets angry with me, that's what I have to do. You know, I might try to ease the situation by, you know, apologizing to them. But if that doesn't help, the only thing you can do is pray for them. You know, that goes with anybody in our family too. If you get angry and they don't want to listen to you, or, you know, or you don't want, you know, whatever, as long as your heart's right, that's okay. Then you can pray, and you have the faith to believe for them. So that's what we ought to do. If my wife gets mad at me, best thing I can do is just to pray for her, you know, and apologize to her. I'm sorry, you know, I offended you. I didn't mean to. I was actually, you know, trying to do whatever it is that you was trying to do, trying to justify myself or whatever it was, you know. But then you're right with God, and if you're right with God, then you can pray for them, and God's going to listen in. He's going to listen. That makes sense? Yeah, to me.
I just want to say one more thing is, when you talk about the unforgiveness of your father, I do believe that that is a big thing that my husband has. He was mistreated by his father and still is. And I found out not too long ago that he was the crux of everything. His father treated my husband worse than anybody else. And he still is a very, very angry man. So I can imagine that shortly, 7, 8 years old, he was already, being put down and a lot of you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, that is where, and now I feel like I'm walking on eggshells for that reason. It's like it took hold and grew all these years. So anyway, just want to put that out there.
Well, listen, you might want to go on site and order the book, The Curse of Unforgiveness. And maybe if he sees it laying around somewhere in there, he might want to pick it up,
Yeah, but he's never actually read a book lately in years and years. So I can't imagine. He's very addicted to the TV, very addicted. So but I will buy it and read it because it's good information,
It'll give you good information. Not only that, it'll give you some understanding too where he's at.
Right. And so, what was that called? The
Curse of Unforgiveness. It's
Curse. That's what I thought.
It's in the books.
Okay.
It's also an audio online.
Yeah, it's on audio. Is.
Okay. I like audio. Okay.
What's your husband's name, Becky?
His name is Rick.
All right. What's Rick, father? We ask that you bind that spirit of rejection and help him to understand that his father maybe has problems that's beyond what most people just don't have to deal with. I had to deal with it growing up with my father. I think some of us others have had to do that with our parents or somebody in our life has given us rejection. Father, this is a spirit that can turn things upside down in our life. And Lord, we're asking that you, by your grace, through this group, by faith, that you help Becky to help Rick overcome the spirit of rejection, to cast this off him so he can be free, so he can walk a newness of life with you. We ask this name of Jesus, our Savior, and we bind that spirit now by faith. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, we got just a few minutes left. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we get out of here or close out? I don't know why I say get out of here. I don't care nothing about getting out of here. I just close out. So Lord, we thank you for tonight's fellowship. It's been an awesome time. We thank you for Becky's baptism in the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, we thank you, Lord, that she's got a prayer language. And Lord, we thank you for bringing it forth for her. We thank you, Lord, that her husband, Rex, I believe it is coming back to you, Lord. Matter of fact, you already started working on him, Father, because of the prayers of the saints here. And we thank you for it, Lord. We are in great expectation for Rex in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask and we pray, Lord, that all the rest of the people that we've been praying for, we thank you that you also bringing them into the kingdom in a mighty way. And Father, some of us have friends, some of us have family members that claim to know you, Lord, but they're falling away. They don't have the understanding yet. But Lord, we know that real soon that there's a shaking coming that's going to shake the world out of them, shake the flesh out of them. And Father, we thank you that the fear of God is going to go on to those people that we've all prayed for, and they're going to come into the kingdom, Lord. And I thank you for it. I just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in us, cleaning us up too, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you stoke up the fire in our spirit life, Lord, to get us on fire for you and hungry for the word, a hunger that can't be satisfied, Lord, with just a little bit of reading in the word a day, Lord, that we'd want to be in the word continually. If we're not reading it, we're thinking about it. And we thank you, Father, that you're putting that in us, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, for a good night's sleep for everybody. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us dreams and visions about what's fixing to happen. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody, and God bless. We love y'all.